Today I'm continuing the message on Thanksgiving, actually on the six functions of church, one a function of which is prayer, and one aspect of prayer is the prayer of Thanksgiving. I've talked quite a bit about prayer. Someone has asked, when are you going to stop talking about prayer? And I thought, oh, probably when you all start praying. But anyway, I wanted to take a few minutes at the beginning, though, to mention Memorial Day. It's a holiday that's often misunderstood, and it's really an expression, or should be an expression, of gratitude for those who make an ultimate sacrifice. Memorial Day is different from Veterans Day. Veterans Day is when we honor all those who serve or have served in the service, whether in wartime or peacetime, living or dead. Memorial Day is specifically for those who've given their life in the cause of serving their country. It started just after the Civil War. It used to be called Decoration Day, and it's specifically about going to the graveyard and decorating graves. And so later in time, in the 20th century, became known as Memorial Day. And it's a statement whereby we remember those who have given their lives in behalf of our country. It's specifically devoted to them. And so we do that on this weekend, though many people probably don't spend much time thinking about that and how grateful we should be in that context. And I want to take just a moment at the beginning of my message to recognize one individual whom I did not know, but to remember, that's where Memorial Day comes from, to remember one individual whom I didn't know, but who was a member of my extended family through my wife, Jane, and it's a man whom she did not know either. It was her mother's brother. And I had read, he is an individual who gave his life in World War II. He was a Navy pilot. He flew a plane called the Excalibur. And this is a picture of the graveyard at Normandy. I don't know if he was buried there, but that's where he lost his life. And I had read either a letter or a diary entry of my mother-in-law, Jane's mother, and it expressed the grief that she felt when she heard about the loss of her brother in June of 1944. We couldn't find that. I wanted to share that with you because it should inspire in us, it should provoke in us an understanding of the immense sacrifices that have been made over many, many, many years to preserve the way of life and the freedoms that we enjoy, and in many ways, all of us take for granted. But I did find another letter, one of his letters that he wrote in May 9th of 1943, and it's an expression of a different kind of gratitude, and I just want you to catch the spirit of Charles Carter, Jane's uncle Charles, whom she never met. Dear Mother, today is Sunday, Mother's Day. It's most unfair that mothers should only have one day a year to be devoted to them, especially in these years of war when all the mothers of the world have so unselfishly given their sons up to go out and fight as Christian soldiers, knowing so well that many of those sons, with all their love and courage and youth, shall never again be with them until perhaps when the time of the final reunion of all loved ones takes place. We must believe in such a reunion. For if we did not, then how could all of the mothers who've lost their sons and husbands ever have the courage to face life without these cherished ones who have fallen? It is not strange that I should be thinking about these things because I know that you have often thought the same. My thoughts are with yours, wherever it may be. There must be many times when you're lonely, and there will be many more because we've got a long fight ahead and not an easy one. I know this, and I tell you because I want you to know and have courage and patience till the wonderful day when I have promised to be with you again and we'll talk about all the things we used to and listen to the radio and go to the beach. And things will be just as God meant them to be. I don't want you to be sad about this letter, but be encouraged. I'm doing all the things I love, and I'm helping in a small way to end all the world's agonies a little sooner. I'm quite happy. I'm not homesick or worried about anything. So there's no reason for you to be sad. I'm only trying to tell you how we must look at the situation of the world and so have a spirit to face up to the things we must. Because this is Mother's Day, you should be happy at the thought that you're such a grand and wonderful one. I could ask no more than to just know that you are my mother and the closest semblance of the real Spirit of God that I know. Such a love and spirit of yours is the richest gift a man could own. So happy Mother's Day, 365 days a year. Wasn't expecting this to happen. I never even met him. But you feel the spirit of what he is saying. Happy Mother's Day, 365 days a year, Mother dear, and I hope you'll always be the same old crow of mine. I guess that's what he called her. All my love and happiness to you, signed Charles. A little over a year later, he was shot down over Normandy, and I only read this letter to you for this reason. This story is multiplied tens and hundreds of thousands of times all over the world, and not only for those who have fallen, but for those who are left behind. The pain and the sacrifice has been unspeakable, and I just wanted to bring that to our minds today. And I also want to say that we owe so much to so many. As Churchill once said, never have so many owed so much to so few. Not just with regard to Memorial Day, but just life in general. We owe so much to so many, and we actually probably think very little of that. The spirit of thanksgiving, the spirit of gratefulness, is something that flees from us very easily and very quickly, especially in the challenges and difficulties of life that we face, especially in the frustration, and especially when it's other people who frustrate us. We lose that sense of thanksgiving, and I think a thanklessness is one of the great sins that we have, not just toward those who have sacrificed toward us, but to life in general and toward God himself. Jerry Bridges, writing in Trusting God Even When Life Hurts, said, we're imbued with a spirit of ingratitude because of our sin nature. We must cultivate a new spirit, a spirit of gratitude. So I wanted to focus for a moment on Memorial Day and just think about the gratitude that we should show to those who have made sacrifices. But I also want to pivot into today's message, which has to do with the prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you because you have put people in our past who have made amazing sacrifices for us. On battlefields all over the world, yes, but also in our homes and in our schools and in our businesses and on our streets. Parents who have cared for us, brothers and sisters who have watched over us, friends who have encouraged us, and most of all, a God who has given Jesus Christ in our behalf. A God who has provided for us. Lord, we are guilty of a sin of thanklessness, not only to those near us, but to those we never met to whom we owe so much. Cure our hearts, Lord. Purify our hearts. Transform our minds. And use your word today to do so, that we might radiate your joy and your grace. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So we owe so much to others. We owe everything to God, everything. And yet we are often people who do not show gratitude. Ingratitude is a root sin. We see it in Romans, and we can change out and begin to show some of these scriptures. Romans 1:21. Although they knew God, speaking of the human race, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. or give thanks to him. That was a root issue. They did not recognize God's generosity, God's power, God's grace. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So ingratitude leads to a darkness of heart. In Psalm 78 and 42, speaking of the children of Israel, for whom God had done mighty and wonderful things, it says they did not remember his power the day when he redeemed them from the foe. And not remembering, memorial is the idea of remembering. It's the idea of being thankful for what has been done. They did not remind themselves. They did not thank the Lord for his faithfulness. And Paul warns us that in the last days, difficult times will come in 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. He says, people's characters will be twisted and perverse. They'll be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. The word is unthankful in some translations. Unthankfulness, ungratefulness is a root sin, but not only is it a root sin, it is a root disease. What happens to us when we are unthankful? I think it affects our personality. I think adversity affects us in ways that shapes us in a way that's self-destructive. We become bitter. We become judgmental. We become condemning. We become oppositional. We become difficult. We become self-pitying. Unthankfulness doesn't necessarily affect others so much as it affects our own spirit. God calls us today to something different. He calls us as believers in Jesus Christ to cultivate a thankful spirit, even when things are difficult, even when there is adversity, even when, perhaps especially when, there's opposition. God calls us to something different. We don't want to be critical, judgmental, and in fact, unattractive. Don't you agree? An unthankful, ungrateful person is not a particularly attractive person. But a gracious, grateful, thankful person is an attractive person. It's a person who knows grace, and the word for thanksgiving comes from the same root word for the word grace. In other words, a person who gives thanks is one who understands the grace of God, understands the gifts of God and the gifts that others have brought into their lives and is grateful for them, and then they radiate that grace in a heart of thankfulness. There are many insults. There are many difficulties. There are many things to be offended about. But I think what God calls us to is to overcome evil with good. And the heart of goodness is a heart that is thankful, even when things are difficult. A thankful heart is a heart that reflects that it is in touch with God's grace. Do you want to reflect God's grace? Cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 21. Rejoice always. And interestingly, the word rejoice there, the root word is the same root word for being thankful. They share the same root. I'll mention that in a moment. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. That's why I keep talking about prayer. We're praying without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. So, this word here, we are encouraged to give thanks in every circumstance. Give thanks for God and his gifts. What we're told in this passage is that we are to rejoice always. And according to Leon Morris and his commentary on this book, he says the various derivatives of the word joy occur with startling frequency in the New Testament. The word for grace is from the same root, as are the words to forgive. It's one of the words to forgive, and one of the words for to give thanks, and another for the gifts of the Spirit. They all come from the same root. All of these things flow out of the same Spirit. The word Eucharist, Eucharistio, it means to give thanks or to show grace. God is a God who is gracious, and that grace should provoke in us a spirit of thanksgiving. So I would say one trait of a true Christian is a thankful spirit, is a thankful heart, one that really truly recognizes not only what others have done, but what Christ on the cross has done for each one of us, paying the ultimate price to bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might have life, and that more abundantly. So we find that the expression of thankfulness is God's will. Give thanks always. Give thanks in every circumstance, because it's what God wants. God wants us to do that. Secondly, the expression of thankfulness is, as I have said, linked to joy. Are you down? Are you turned inwardly? Are you robbed of your joy? I would encourage you to try something, not in your own strength, not simply positive thinking, but by the grace of God within you, offer thanks to God for every single good gift he has brought into your life. And there are multitudes that you and I have enjoyed from the moment we woke up this morning. From the moment we woke up, we have been blessed. And we have been enriched. I read this on New Year's Eve a couple years ago. It's a study. A couple of them. I don't know where I actually found them, but I want to read them to you. The old adage that virtues are caught, not taught, applies here, says the University of California, Davis, psychology professor Robert Emmons. He's talking about the power of gratitude. This may seem obvious, but it eludes many parents that attitudes are caught, not taught. I think the most important thing for us adults to realize is we're often not very grateful. The mere act of giving thanks has tangible benefits, research suggests. A 2008 study of 221 kids published in the Journal of School Psychology analyzed 6th and 7th graders assigned to list 5 things they were grateful for every day for 2 weeks. It found they had a better outlook on school and greater life satisfaction 3 weeks later. Boy, that's quick. 3 weeks later, compared with kids assigned to list 5 hassles. So they said one group, hey, list your big hassles every day for the next 2 weeks. They said to another group, kids, list the 5 things you're thankful for every day for 2 weeks. Well, guess who was happier? After 2 weeks. It seems like a no-brainer, but we have to do a psychology experiment to figure out what we already know. That was supposed to be funny. That's my kind of humor, actually. Another study examined 1,035 high school students outside New York City. A study published in 2010 in the Journal of Happiness Studies. That's an interesting one. I think I'm going to subscribe to that. Found that those who showed high levels of gratitude, for instance, thankfulness for the beauty of nature, and strong appreciation of other people, reported having stronger GPAs, less depression and envy, and more positive outlook than less grateful teens. Further, teens who strongly connected buying and owning things with success and happiness reported having lower GPAs, more depression, and a more negative outlook. Materialism had just the opposite effect as gratitude, almost like a mirror, says study co-author Jeffrey Froh, associate professor of psychology at Hofstra University. Well, I just point that out to make the simple point that thankfulness, being thankful for what we do have, is so powerful, as opposed to being disappointed with what's not there. That is not that we should become complacent and not have aspirations. It is that a healthy heart flows out of a thankful heart. And the truth is, thankfulness reflects a heart that is in touch with God's grace, God's gifts. And that is why Paul said, be thankful in every situation, because it's very tempting not to be in many situations, and we can understand that. The expression of thankfulness, not only is it God's will, not only is it linked to joy, to a joyful spirit, it also shapes our attitudes in adversity. Adversity is something all of us face. Anybody here not faced any adversity in the last 2 hours? In the last 2 months? In the last 2 years? Adversity is a part of life. It's there, like it or not. It's very interesting to me. Adversity is the same root word as the word adversary. Our adversary. And in the word studies of the word adversary, it's the one who accuses us, the one who opposes us, the one who opposes God's work in our lives. And I have come to the conviction that thankfulness is an expression of faith. And what our adversary wants to do is to use adversity in our life to destroy our faith. And the way he does it is he destroys the thankful spirit. And when that thankful spirit is destroyed, we lose sight of God's grace. And we lose sight of God's grace, our faith dies. And when our faith dies, he's got us exactly where he wants us. In a bitter pool of self-consuming bile. Break that yoke. Thank him for his faithfulness. Thank him for his goodness and his grace. Thank him for his loving kindness and his tender mercies. Thank you. Thank him for the smallest gifts and the smallest expressions of mercy. Thank him for what others have done for you and I. Thank him for his constant, unswerving faithfulness. Thank you for the revelation of himself in his word, of who he is, that God is undying and unfailing love. Thank him for his son, Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate price to open the very gates of heaven. We are not designed to be trapped in our own thanklessness. It is a sin. It is also a weapon of the enemy. And when we go there, we cooperate with his agenda. And what makes it worse, we cooperate with his agenda for us. Break it. Break it. By exercising a simple discipline. Thank you, Lord, in every circumstance. It's difficult to give thanks in hard circumstance. But it is God's will for you and I. The expression of thankfulness shapes our attitude in adversity. The enemy wants us to be bitter and critical and defeated and self-pitying. That's what he wants for us. It's not what God wants for you. And it shouldn't be what we want for ourselves. Let's stop cooperating with that agenda. Thankfulness is key. Essential. Essential to personal transformation. It's absolutely essential. And Voskamp, who has become kind of a well-known author through a best-selling book, 1,000 Gifts, which I have not read. I've seen excerpts of it. just reading from a review of her book. She suffered some very serious things. She saw one of her siblings run over by a truck. Her mother was committed to a mental hospital afterwards. She had other tragedies as an adult, suffered great depression at times. And God gave her a way out. This is what her book is about. It is the secret of recognizing the 1,000 gifts that God gives every day. So this review says, Hal Voskamp wondered, do we find joy in the midst of deadlines, debts, drama, and daily duties? What does a life of gratitude look like when your days are gritty, long, and sometimes dark? What is God providing here and now? A beautifully practical guide to living a life of joy, 1,000 Gifts invites you to wake up to God's everyday blessings. As Voskamp discovered in giving thanks for the life she already had, she found the life she'd always wanted. Following Voskamp's grace-bathed reflections on her farming, parenting, and writing, you will embark on a transformative spiritual discipline of chronicling gifts. Along the way, you will discover a way of seeing that opens your eyes to gratitude, a way of living so you're not afraid to die, and a way of becoming present to God's presence that brings deep and lasting happiness. Is it really that simple? Is it really that simple? God's gifts, God's ways are quite simple, and we ignore them so often. Thankfulness must become, the expression of gratitude must become an intentional habit. We have to choose to do this. We have to catch ourselves when we're not doing it. We have to choose to do it. It's just like taking medicine. We've got to do it. It shouldn't feel that way at first, like exercising. There's effort involved. There's a decision involved. But there are also results involved. And finally, our gratitude should ultimately, regularly, systematically be expressed in our prayer life as people of prayer to the one who made the greatest sacrifice for us. Every time we offer praise and thanksgiving, we are exercising what Paul says, rejoice always, give thanks in every circumstance, pray without ceasing. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, disciples. It's God's will for you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, a follower of Jesus Christ. So let me ask a couple questions in closing. And then we'll all have gratitude because we can go and eat. Just a couple questions. To whom should you express gratitude, whom you have not expressed gratitude? Make it intentional. Make the expression of gratitude intentional. You have to think about it. I would paraphrase 1 John. How can he who is not grateful to his brother, neighbor, friend, parent, co-worker, how is he who is not grateful to his brother, whom he can see, be grateful to God, whom he cannot see? Of course, John uses the word love. I'm inserting the word gratefulness. Oh, I love God, it's just people I can't stand. Purposely cultivate a spirit of thankfulness in every circumstance. I want to read this from Bridges quickly because people misunderstand. Oh, thank you, God. I've had this terrible car wreck and I'm laid up in the hospital 3 months. I don't think it quite means that, but in the midst of it, we thank you, Lord. You are faithful. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. And even in this hell hole, you are here and you are with me. Bridges, whom our home group has been studying, trusting God even when life hurts. Thanksgiving in all circumstances, whether favorable or unfavorable, then, is another response to the trustworthiness of God. If we trust Him to work in all our circumstances for good, then we should give Him thanks in all those circumstances. not thanksgiving for the evil considered in itself, but for the good that he will bring out of that evil through his sovereign wisdom and love. James put it this way, rejoice, show grace when you find yourself in different kinds of temptations. Because essentially he says, God's at work, whether you see him, feel him, or recognize it or not, God's at work. If you cultivated that attitude, you would be a very dangerous weapon in the kingdom of heaven. God's power would rest upon you in a mighty way. Thank him for your identity in Christ. And I put some inserts in these bulletins that tell us who we are in Jesus Christ. I encourage you to take that insert out and use it as a prayer list to remind yourself of what Jesus Christ has done for you and who God intends for you to be. And do not allow a thankless spirit to prevent you from embracing his promises that he died in order that you should obtain. Let us not be not only thankless, but faithless. Let us claim his promised blessings. Thankfulness reflects a heart in touch with God's gifts to each of us. Let us decide today to cultivate a thankful heart. And I guarantee you, if you make that decision now, it will be tested tomorrow morning in your first hour at work. Quite likely. But let us choose to be a thankful people that reflects how gracious God has been to each of us. We're going to close with a song, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation. We read about praise in Scripture and hear about it in songs. It is a form, yes, of adoration, but it's also a form of thanksgiving, a recognition of who he is in our lives. Let us offer thanks and let us break the strongholds that affect our personality, affect our circumstances, and ultimately affect actually our prosperity. Let's stand.